Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio, Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Yes, hello, and welcome back to your favourite part of the week, where we gather for another Confessions podcast brought to you by your friends at Greatest Hits Radio. Sister Susie is not in the pub. She's left the pub, and she's actually in the studio, which is a very lovely thing.
Right here.
Yes.
Brother Matt is still in his metaphorical gutter.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And Sister Holly is here live from the cupboard de tat.
Absolutely.
Coming up, we visit the parish notice board. We take a look at the smug section of those of you who have received their tat, an ever-growing number of people. And there's also the newly named Mark Knopfler broadcast.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
The confessions that didn't make the cut, but that we do send to Mark Knopfler.
Yes.
See last week's podcast for details. Also, obviously, you'll get to hear this week's confessions from the Drive Time Show and Greatest Hits Radio, which is on between 4 and 7. If you could listen, that would be appreciated. Mm-hmm. Anyway, here come the confessions that we've done. Crazy Bird Ladies, Woods, Whoopsie, Birds of a Feather, Slim Jim's Cat Catastrophe, Stray Cat's Trot, Jonathan's Confession, The Wind Beneath My Wings. But first, it's Phil's Camp America Confession. Orcs, ogres, goblins and trolls.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Well, I think this is okay. I mean, it's vaguely insensitive, but, you know.
Oh, that's fine then. Okay.
Only, it's fine, I think, you know.
Yeah.
Dear parish leaders and members of the congregation, especially those who've previously held council in Old Roots, F Block, Warwick University.
Oh, is that you?
Yeah. I'm not that block, but I was. Oh, actually, was I? I can't remember. Anyway, but I certainly was a resident of Roots.
Yeah.
My story concerns my summer in Long Island as a camp counsellor between my first and second years at Warwick University. We are talking 20 years ago. Camp America took one look at me, a 19-year-old excitable but acne-ridden Brit, and figured that the English accent meant I was responsible enough to look after 8-year-olds during their first stint away from mummy and daddy, or probably nanny as they all came from Manhattan. The scheme would be good for the CV and offered a return flight to the Big Apple in exchange for 8 weeks of babysitting the precious scamps. Random samples from the register, Randy, Billy Joe, Rip and Mary Lou. So you get the general picture.
Okay, yes.
Excellent.
Very different. Anyway, so win-win, you might think, says Phil. Only compared to the kids I'd be looking after, it turns out I wasn't as excitable after all. They were relentless and very, very irritating. Crying for home, wetting the bed, but mostly telling me that they were 1/8 Irish or a 16th Scottish in every single sentence. They were so proud. They mentioned it every time they had the chance, yet not a single one of them could point to where Ireland or Scotland was on a map or tell me a single fact about either country. The parents weren't much better either. Just outside of London, yeah?
Great. What? I love it. More of that accent, please.
I'm afraid you're going to get it. You are going to get more.
Oh, am I?
Well, slightly more nuanced. Most days, we did the rounds. Boating on the lake, archery, arts and crafts. But once every 2 weeks, there would be a special camp-wide event day. And this one was announced as the Olympics. Each cabin would draw a country that they would represent across various challenges. And you guessed it, my cabin picked Ireland. Mm-hmm. The kids went wild. Because you remember, they're all an 1/8 Irish, even though they don't know where Ireland is.
Yeah.
As part of the festivities, we had to design costumes and a skit for the opening ceremony and the parade. But I was getting fed up with hearing how patriotic the kids were about a country they knew nothing about. And they were so clueless as well, and they had no idea at all about what Ireland had to offer. So, to be perfectly honest, I told a little fib. okay, a whopping fib. And I painted them all green. I fetched some newspapers that had some news from home and explained that leprechauns, which is what they now had to be, were famous for announcing sport results. It was just one of the many things that leprechauns did for reasons lost in the mists of ancient Irish mythology. Yeah. Cocked hat, withered face, and the sport.
Excellent.
Everyone, including the American councillors, believed me wholeheartedly. So when it came to the opening ceremony, my campers took delight in, very sincerely, going around shouting football results dressed as leprechauns. The accent, well, it's a sort of hopeless childlike American Irish.
Oh, well, let's hear some of that, I think.
Oh.
But now I've got these results. West Ham 3, Blackburn 1, so it is.
What? So it is. That doesn't make it... What?
It doesn't make it Irish.
But they were giving it no welly at all. No. Louder, I told them in a huddle, you're leprechauns, you're supernatural beings, you're solitary fairies who announce sport results. Forget that some people say you're degenerate. It's not true. That's Anglo-colonial bias.
Mm.
Anyway, they proudly went off again, this time yelling more scores. Manchester United 2, Tottenham 4, to be sure.
To be sure, obviously, yeah.
Yes.
Have you got the picture?
Yeah.
I think that was Billy Joe that was saying that one. Mm. Come on, guys, I scolded them some more. You need to honour your heritage. Leprechauns scream. They prance and they dance whilst they're screaming. OK, they all went. Chelsea 2, Arsenal 2, Leicester 1, the Crystal Palace 3. I can't.
No.
By the end of the day, I had a gaggle of very proud but very hoarse leprechauns. And a bit of peace and quiet for the next few days. But obviously, I need to apologise. So I have to seek forgiveness from a group of American kids, not for them having a great time, but for growing up maybe still believing this nonsense that leprechauns were associated with reading the sport. I often wonder where life had taken them and if they continued to associate leprechauns with sports results, or every time they heard the sport on the television, they thought, well, in Ireland, that's done by a leprechaun. I also apologise for telling them ghost stories towards the end of their stay and scaring them so much that they couldn't sleep at all for the rest of the camp, although karma came back quickly, because it meant I didn't sleep much either, having to deal with a lot of traumatised children. 5 stars for the podcast, by the way.
Ah,
and
well done.
Keep up the good work. Well, I quite like the sound of that. P.S. says, Phil, feel free to go with whatever teams and results make you happy. So I did.
Oh, did you?
I did.
Oh, right, OK.
Make a slight change there. Anyway, it was a bit of Irish mythology. Sister Susie, what do you say about American sport and leprechauns together at last?
Well, I like, I like the idea that Matt might be our very own leprechaun.
Oh, indeed.
That's quite funny. But Phil, I just feel like you might have been annoyed that they didn't know much about Ireland, but wasn't that your job to kind of teach them? And I just feel like you failed them a little bit. And I think it started when you called them babysitting at the very beginning rather than what you were actually doing, being a camp leader.
Yes, camp
leader.
Getting
them excited. And I think you maybe were a bit mean to Irish people, so I'm not going to forgive you.
Okay, let's check it with Brother Matthew.
Oh, our American cousins and the desperation to have some kind of Irish roots. I think that's fair enough. I think it's well within your rights to exploit that. And yes, maybe there is a parallel universe where leprechauns are responsible for saying the sport results. Why not? You know, I've seen it being read out by people less qualified. So for that reason, to be sure, yes. I'm going to forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Who are the people who are less qualified?
We skated over that one at the time,
yes,
didn't
but
we?
But now,
obviously,
in the privacy of a
podcast it's yes. fine. I can absolutely libel other
you can
broadcasters, can't
name
I?
Yeah. Presenters.
Name and shame them. That's what I should be doing, shouldn't I? Absolutely right. Yes.
Or not.
Or maybe.
Yeah, well, I'm asking
not.
You.
maybe not.
I thought my accents were...
They're outstanding again, yeah. Yes.
I mean, the thing is, I just decided that doing a childish American Irish accent was doing sport was sort of beyond my limit. There are very few things that are beyond my repertoire.
Yeah. But you, nailed it first time. That's what I...
You did quite a few good Irish accents in the studio.
Yes.
Do you want to mention those?
No.
Yeah.
No, we're not going to be doing those. Because mine are even worse than yours, so it would only be doubly insulting.
But it's supposed to be bad, though, isn't it?
Isn't it?
So
though?
Really?
Yes. Or maybe they're too good for that, then. Yes. They fail on both counts.
Anyway, basically, Matt's just going to leave me to...
Yeah.
So yeah. Before we head back to the confessional booth, a couple of new bits and pieces on the parish notice board, starting with the reviews. Matt, what have you got?
Yes, here come the reviews that, as you will know, we only read out if they give us 5 stars. So 5 stars, says Ralph Jolly, sick and wrong. That is all. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Ralph. Dave in Wales, 5 stars, brilliant. Hi, Simon, Matt, Sister Susie, and Laugh a Minute Holly, only because you don't forgive, like you really. Can I start? Yeah. Yeah.
Love it.
Can I start with how great it is to have the podcast back? As it was the highlight of my week, I drive a lorry and have been listening back to the old ones on Greatest Hits Radio. First of all, I heard you going on about Angel Delight a few months ago. Wow, that was ages ago, wasn't it? Did you know they do a strawberry flavour in an ice cream form?
No, thanks.
That's a great review.
Isn't that an ice cream? That's an ice cream, isn't it? Strawberry ice cream.
That's all I need.
Okay. That's not Angel. Anyway, from a certain frozen food shop that's also a country.
Oh.
Iceland.
Oh.
That's it. Yeah.
Iceland. Where mums go.
Where mums go, yeah. And I love how Matt just finds any reason to forgive, whether it be a circle of life or the system. It's brilliant. Also, Holly not forgiving makes me laugh. These youngsters don't know how to live these days. Anyway, what I've been making
sense. You know what that was? What? Dave in Wales had his phone, he pressed the microphone button and he just rambled.
He has, hasn't he? Good for you, Dave.
He's in his truck and he's just talking.
Anyway, keep it up. Long live the podcast. Thanks, Dave.
That's probably an edited version.
Yeah, it definitely is. The Vengeful One says 6 stars, wow. Says The Vengeful One. Wow, 6 stars. I'm just after hearing Dawn from Scotland's Connection and I'm in floods. I'd like to humbly request a mug from the tap cupboard, signed by my mentor brother Matt, as his teachings are rapidly melding into my own as I navigate this thing we call life. Thank you, hopefully, 6 stars.
Wow.
I don't,
your
how
teachings?
Do you,
what are your,
my teachings?
Your
and,
teachings are harsh, we call life. Harsh towels.
Yeah.
No
rough towels.
No conditioner and
no conditioner
and
in
cold
the
towels.
Yeah.
Cold.
No need for a
luxuries
dishwasher
or heat
table or heating
or comfort
until
no.
October. But I don't think you can sign. I can't sign a mug. Can we? Can you sign a mug? I don't think so.
Yeah, I would think so.
Well, I can sign it, but it won't stay
you can
on.
Chisel it.
Chisel it.
Well, you just can't wash it.
Can't wash it, and why would you with my face on it? Except it's not my face. Anyway, never mind. Remember, to get a shout-out on the pod, only 5-star reviews, and if you are requesting a mug or some tat in your review, you'll also need to email your address to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Otherwise, we won't know where to send the tat. That's literally the first time I've read out that email address.
It sounded like
it did.
Well.
It did. It leapt off the page, didn't it?
So natural.
We all knew straight away what I meant. Well done, me.
We've had another listener... to add to the smug section, started by Ray last week. It's been sent in by Henry and Mum Jenny. It's a lovely photograph of Henry with a mug and a signed photograph. You've signed it as well, Matt, but it is...
Oh, yes, that is my signature, isn't it?
Yes.
Great.
Well, it
looks
could be
fabulous.
Anything.
That's the signature I do for my Amazon deliveries.
That's the signature.
Yeah. So if you ever want to accept a package on my behalf... There you
if
go.
That was your heart excellent monitor and you were in hospital, that's the end of you.
Yeah.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not looking good for me.
The rest of life and then I'm afraid dead.
Dead.
Anyway, so Jenny and Henry say, they arrived, thank you, 5 stars, best podcast mugs ever. Anyway, Henry looks very, very happy with that.
Yes.
What correspondence have you selected from the postbag this week, Susie?
I've got an email from Lewis who says, dear collective, Simon, Matt, Susie and Holly, having been listening to the Greatest Hits radio show since its inception, first song was David Bowie, Let's Dance. I think that was on the actual, that wasn't on just our show. I think that was on the network itself, maybe.
Is that right? Because we didn't start with that.
We didn't start with that.
What did we start with? Oh, your man, probably.
Bruce Ding Dong.
Bruce Ding Dong, wasn't it? Yeah. Probably you're Born to Runs.
It was Born to Run, wasn't it?
Born to Runs, wasn't it?
Born to Runs.
Born to Runs. One of your Born to Runs.
He's got the runs. That's a confession. Wow.
I think so.
I was delighted when confessions returned to our sound waves. I would like to request a mug, pretty please, from the tack cupboard. My reasoning for the mug is I work for a local authority, and whilst my role is very rewarding and supporting adults into employment, as well as working with fantastic colleagues, I'm sure Matt will sympathise that all the mugs are very corporate, with a standard logo, and they're all samey. The only exceptions are the senior management with the likes of Barbara, that's worked there for 40 years and has her own mug, branded Barbara's mug.
What? Because she's in senior management?
Yeah, she's
so you're only allowed to have a mug if you're in senior management?
Yeah, wow. Which if you dare touch, let alone use, you're in trouble. So my request is so I can inject some humour as well as be different and proudly promote your awesome show at work. Thanks
Quite right, Lewis.
Yeah. I'm more inclined to help Lewis than I am the vengeful one. Yes. Although, actually, if someone says they're the vengeful one, they might be outside. Might
they could be. Could
yes,
be outside right now.
True.
Maybe mugs for both.
Mm-hmm. Keep them sweet. But certainly, I don't see why management are the only ones that get mugs with their names on them. That's not on at all. So I think definitely...
So you're agreeing?
I'm agreeing with
Lewis.
About his mug. Thing.
If you want to contribute to the parish notice board, send it to confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Don't forget to send your confessions there too, and if we use yours on the air, we send you a smart speaker, which is very nice of us, really. A couple of mentions for Elaine Gwither, Norman Kelly, Dan Gleebitz, Stephen Hill, and Henry Crun, amongst many others, who tweeted or blue-skied or threaded the secret phrase from last week, which, of course, was... Carrot fingers red.
Oh, yeah. That was the bloke with the carrot, wasn't it? Yeah.
No, his thumb.
It was
his thumb.
That looked like a carrot.
That's right. Ah. Matt will have a new code word for you at the end of this particular podcast, which he hasn't worked out yet, have you?
No. It's all
come
to me.
The spirit takes inspiration. Now, to hear from the confessions that were marked not for broadcast for the actual show, but are fine to mention here because the standards are slightly lower.
Mm-hmm.
First up, it's Jenny. Jenny, it might have been back in the early 90s, the first time you all stayed away from your parents, but on a year 9 trip to Germany was not the time or the place to enjoy your first taste of Malibu.
Wow!
Firstly, it ended up with you being sick over the balcony of your hotel room onto some unsuspecting guests, and most importantly, underage drinking.
Yeah. 9?
No.
Wow.
Year 9.
Oh, right. So what's that? Year 9 in old money?
14.
Still wrong. Sick
still
and
is,
wrong.
It is, yeah, definitely. It is. No,
in fact,
not.
This is the definition. She was sick and it's wrong.
And it was wrong.
Exactly.
So true.
Yeah.
There we go.
So, Jenny,
can you get Malibu in Germany? I didn't think that's...
Yeah, you could.
What do they call it in Germany?
Malibu.
Malibu.
That's Malibu.
That's Malibu und Coke.
Jeff.
That's,
wow.
Pretty sure that's how it works. Just worked out the code phrase, by the way. Anyway, go on.
We're not on a starvy day, are we? I'm not quite sure what explains this slightly manic behaviour / talking rubbish. Also, Jeff... disapproving voice. Mm-hmm. A tale involving D&V. What's that?
Diarrhea and vomiting.
Oh,
is that right? Is there a shorthand for that?
Mm-hmm. I didn't.
I've never heard of that.
No, I've got D&V.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got the old D&V.
A little tale involving that and that. A 7-hour bus journey and a blocked toilet was never, ever going to end well. And it also would never pass the threshold of being read out on this show.
No.
It's tea time.
Nope.
We do hope you're feeling better, though, Jeff, and that you managed to find some clean clothes. I learned something. D&V. I thought
never heard of that either. So we've all learned. We're laughing and learning.
I knew
at the same time. You knew.
Yes.
So one of us knew.
Yes.
I'm sorry, thanks. Little Johnny can't come to school. D&V.
D&V.
Okay. D&V.
Yeah.
D&V.
Yeah.
Because no one's going to ask any questions if you just say that, are they?
No one's going to want you around, are they?
No.
Because of the.
Because of the D&V.
Because of the D and the V.
Mm-hmm.
There's a rather big notice here on the board that says, if you're a devout member of the parish, make sure to follow the podcast for any updates. Mm. I think people do that, don't they? Automatically they would follow. Why would you not follow? Follow me, follow down to the hollow, and there we will wallow in glorious mud. Thank you.
Exactly.
Who's that?
Flanders and Swan.
Oh, right.
Yes, getting back to those that did make the cut with Crazy Bird Lady's Tale, Birds of a Feather Stick Together.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Father Simon, Brother Matt, Sister Susie, Sister Katie, Sister Holly lurking in the tack cupboard. I'm writing to seek forgiveness for an unfortunate incident that occurred a couple of years ago that still mortifies me every time I think of it. The story takes place on a crisp October's day against a backdrop of stunning autumn colours, much like today. I decided to pay a visit to a particular National Trust property in the Southwest, after hearing glowing recommendations from family friends. However, I had little interest in the house with its fancy architecture and its rich history spanning many generations and lovely carpets. Yeah. Am I interested? I am not interested, no. I was there for the surrounding countryside, glorious acres of parkland and forest, rumoured to be home to the elusive goshawk. I am an obsessive birdwatcher, Father Simon, and the possibility of seeing this mighty raptor was tantalising. I went and had a look at goshawks online, and they are mighty birds. They look fantastic. Yes, wow. Very big, yeah, and very scary. After arriving, I set off into the woods, binoculars at the ready. The trees were full of life, with plenty of avian delights to admire. And so I spent a very pleasant hour or so ambling along the track, stopping every few metres to gawk skyward in the customary manner of my tribe. It was about this time, and of course, regular confession listeners were thinking, I've got no idea where this one is going. You're about to find out.
Okay.
It was around this time that I was beckoned by the call of nature, so to speak.
Oh, right.
Perhaps it hadn't been wise to quaff so much morning coffee before making the journey. I knew that this particular trust property had limited facilities and that the sole toilet block was only open when tours of the house were taking place. Besides, I was in the middle of the woods and there was nobody around. To quote the great Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic Park, when you gotta go, you gotta go.
Did he say that? No.
I think if Crazy Bird Lady says so, then okay. I'm going with Crazy Bird Lady.
Yeah.
Leaving the track, I carefully picked my way through the trees, avoiding any thick undergrowth where small critters may have been lurking.
Oh.
Soon I found myself on the ghost of a path. Nice phrase. Clear of scrub and heading deeper into the wood, I noticed the earth around me had been disturbed in places where animals had been foraging for food. Oh, I thought to myself, this looks like the work of badgers. Must be one of their regular routes. When I was convinced that I had gone far enough, I hurriedly did the deed.
Mm-hmm.
Wanting to get back to birding as soon as possible. As I straightened back up and made a few adjustments...
Yes, got it.
I casually glanced over my shoulder, and what I saw there caused my stomach to plummet. Several yards away, tethered to a tree and positioned directly behind me, was a wildlife camera trap. Triggered by movement.
Oh, no.
It would appear that badgers did indeed inhabit these woods, and they were presumably the subjects of an ongoing conservation study. Father Simon, I'm sure you can imagine the abject horror that seized me at that moment. I froze like a deer in headlights, staring gormlessly into the black, soulless gaze of this infernal contraption. And then I fled the scene, scurrying sheepishly back to the track, which was mercifully still deserted. I spent the rest of the day trying to pretend nothing had happened. All the while, I was paranoid that a National Trust employee would suddenly materialise, point at me and declare, "There she is, I recognise that bottom, it's her, she's the peer." I didn't see any goshawks. Father Simon, I seek forgiveness, but not from the National Trust with their lack of toilet facilities. They were asking for trouble. Of course visitors are going to pee in their great outdoors. If there's no other option, surely I can't be the only one. No, I seek forgiveness from the resident badger clan whose territory I violated, and particularly to the poor unfortunate soul whose job it was to check the camera footage triggered by motion. I can only hope that the visuals from that day weren't too traumatizing. Yours shamefully, the Crazy Bird Lady. Okay, Crazy Bird Lady, thank you very much indeed. I like that. We haven't had one of those for a while, but I think Sister Susie's going to sympathize here. Let's check in. What do you say to the Crazy Bird Lady?
I really want to side with the Crazy Bird Lady because she's right. When you need to go, you need to go. And I just feel like maybe she was a bit distracted by how much she needed to go and didn't really check the area.
We need facilities. That's what we need.
Spot the camera. Yeah, and I just think... I just feel like we would all do the same thing, so I'm going to forgive.
Yes, I think that's probably where most people are going to end up. Brother Matthew.
Yes, I'm going to forgive, because obviously the going in the woods, that's what we were doing in Neanderthal times, probably. So obviously we just carry that on there. The one thing I don't understand, why, yes, don't look at the camera, because, the camera's only seen what it's seen. You can't be identified then. Don't look at the camera, because then the camera will be able to identify.
Recognize all parts.
Yeah. Everything has got a whole section there. So, for that reason, yes, I'm going to forget.
Something to confess. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Oh, yes, I was recalling a song there. You made me think of a song. I've looked at love from both sides now. That's what I was
saying. I don't think I want to look for love from that side.
I'm not sure. Not sure the Neanderthals have got much to... I mean, I think people were just going in bushes until, like, the Victorian times.
In the Victorian? No, they weren't doing it in the Victorian.
Of course they were.
Lord Nelson wasn't going in the...
He absolutely was. Well, also, that's not Victorian.
Is he? Well, no, but he was before then, wasn't he?
He was.
So my point is that before the Victorians, they were not going in the bushes.
Definitely were.
But they were definitely doing it in the Neanderthals.
You go for a walk...
Oh, no, everyone does it now.
You're caught short, in the bushes, so Lord Nelson probably did.
Lord Nelson.
What do you think, Holly? Do you think Lord Nelson ever had a waz in a bush?
Wouldn't it be the peasants would go in bushes?
Wow,
but
yes.
Posh people, but the upper classes
would hold on till they got back to their fortress.
Strong ladder control.
Strong ladders. Yes.
And their servant would then go for them.
Go, yep.
Somehow that's how it worked then.
Yeah. Yep. I don't think that works biologically.
No.
Anyway.
That's cut out. Anyway, yeah, carry on.
Do you think there's anyone listening to this podcast that actually has servants?
Wow. Servants,
that's interesting. I reckon some of Holly's family probably.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
All
definitely
of them. Yep. Every single one.
Pretty much.
I think so. Anyway, if you have stuff, we'd like to, I'm sure there's a confession. Maybe your stuff, like an upstairs, downstairs thing.
Mm.
They could send us a confession. That'd be quite an interesting one. Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Anyway, still to come on this podcast, you can find out what Matt is going on about here.
Just wandering off and demanding to be fed and then wandering off forever.
I mean, makes no sense there. But then, to be honest,
I've forgotten that.
No sense.
No.
When he said it. Well, Slim Jim is the manor house for that tale, Stray Cat's Truck, which we'll get to. But first, Jonathan's confession, The Wind Beneath My Wings.
Shh, shh, shh. We won't tell anyone.
What's your secret? Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
PG certificate, unless you're having food, in which case, let's make it an 18.
Oh, no.
Ow.
I'm afraid it's one of those. Jonathan says, to his most holiness, Father Simon, the brilliant and always forgiving Brother Matthew, and the once again excellent choice from the drinks trolley, Sister Susie. My confession dates back to the late 1990s, when I was a young man in my early 20s. We were preparing for a family wedding where my Uncle Will would be staying in the family home the night before. Growing up in the 70s and 80s as a young boy, Uncle Will had always been a source of great fun and entertainment for myself and my siblings. When visiting our family home, he would always add an edge of excitement, whether it was jumping out of cupboards to scare us all or using, and here it says, using a French stick to enhance his general physique.
What? But
I looked, the French stick is a baguette. So yes. Uncle Will, it's fair to say, was a true performer, but his party piece was to use a part of his anatomy like a trombone, a.k.a. a Leonard Rossiter in Le Pantoman. I read now from Wikipedia. Le Pantoman is a 1979 British short film about the life and stage name of a French flatulist, a professional farter and entertainer called Joseph Pujol, who was played by Leonard Rossiter.
Yes.
That's where we are.
Okay.
His repertoire was quite extensive, and his explosive rendition of Bohemian Rhapsody had become legendary throughout the family.
Oh,
the only time he didn't perform was when Mum said the posh side of the family were coming over.
They didn't enjoy that. No.
Over the years, with old age, his performances became less and less frequent. But we always encouraged him to come out of retirement.
No.
And after a period of nagging, he reluctantly agreed to perform a few less strenuous numbers.
Oh, dear.
Fast forward to an evening of the family wedding, and Uncle Will arrived full of jovial fun. By this time, my parents had downsized to a modest two-bedroom house. Uncle Will was most insistent that my brother and I should have the twin room, and he would be more than comfortable on the sofa. After a few drinks and much family merriment, it was time to retire for the evening and recharge our batteries for the next day. My mother asked me to go to the airing cupboard and gather a pillow, bottom sheet and duvet for Uncle Will, and it's at this point that I need forgiveness. Whilst climbing the stairs, I had a moment of inspiration. 2 weeks previously, my dad had used a new cream-coloured bottom sheet as a protection whilst painting the wooden stairs in dark oak, and I remembered how annoyed my mother was with the brown staining that she couldn't wash out.
I recalled
her saying, "Well, I'm not throwing it out, you can use it next time." Once on the landing and after carefully searching the cupboard, voila, there it was, the cream/brown-coloured sheet. I dashed downstairs and made up the sofa. "There you go, Uncle, all ready for you."
Aww.
So we said goodnight and I began to request some of Uncle Will's old repertoire. He was reluctant to perform Paul McCartney's Frog Song, but did oblige with a song or two from his back catalogue.
Oh, come on!
In the morning, I made sure I was up nice and early. "Morning, Uncle," I waved through the glazed kitchen door into the lounge and positioned myself so that I could see him get up. He waved back he pushed back the duvet and then looked down at the sofa in absolute horror. Concerned for his welfare, I shouted, "Is everything all right?" He picked up the sheets and dashed to the downstairs loo. My mother came out shortly after. "Oh, I see Uncle Will has tied it up already." Well, you could say that, I thought. Uncle Will moved at pace to the kitchen, and what ensued next can only be likened to that famous duvet scene in Trainspotting. Red-faced Uncle Will was most insistent that the sheets needed to be washed now. My mother couldn't understand the urgency and offered to put them in the washing basket. So backwards and forwards the sheets would go in a tug of war, but Uncle Will had a vice-like grip and my mother eventually agreed. We then all went off to the hotel for the family wedding where Uncle Will was staying that night. He did, of course, eventually see the funny side of things, unlike Sister Susie, I imagine. Father Simon, I beg forgiveness for bringing a premature curtain down on Uncle Will's illustrious career because, as a result of my actions, he never performed for the family again. Some in the family, however, may well see that as a blessing. Well, families, they're very strange, very strange things, I think. But Uncle Will was quite a character, quite a performer, obviously. I didn't quite get the French tick in rehearsal, but now I think I do.
Yes. Less said about that.
Sister Susie, Jonathan is thinking that you're not going to be very forgiving.
Well, yes. I can't say Uncle Will sounds hilarious. And the French stick is better in a sandwich, I think. That's where you should keep it in the kitchen. I just think it's a little bit mean, you know. He might have had a problem. He might have had a medical problem as to why he had all of this flatulence. And, you know, I can't imagine sleeping on a sheet that's covered in paint isn't a great thing either. So I just don't think you're very nice to Uncle Will. And I'm just not going to forgive you.
Also, just get rid of the sheet. I mean, if the sheet is covered with varnish, then just chuck it out. That's no use.
Well,
to anybody.
Very rough. That's true.
Anyway,
not forgiven.
Brother Matthew,
as
a little bit
you
rough.
Say, yes, I'm going to forgive because obviously, as we've established, none of this was Uncle Will's fault, and I feel sorry for the posh end of the family who were denied his performances from his back catalogue, as it turns out. Yes, so many reasons to forgive. What a talent Will had! No. I probably couldn't unveil that outside of the house. So for that reason, I'm going to forgive.
Confess all. Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
PG certificate for this one does contain the circle of life.
Oh, does it? Okay.
Father Simon, Matt and Susie of the Confessional Collective. My story is from the mid-1980s when I still lived at home in Falmouth with my parents and my sister. My parents were keen sailors and took the family to Brittany every year aboard their sailing boat. When reaching the age of 16, I was at that age where I really didn't want to have to go on holiday with my parents, so chose to stay at home, get a job and look after the house. And the house was an old barn conversion, which had come with a few feral cats in the purchase who lived outside or in the various outbuildings. Some were slightly tame, others belonged in a zoo. They did seem to keep multiplying, funny how that happens, resulting in many visitors to the house being offered a kitten to take home. Few were named. One particular one, unimaginatively called Black Mother Cat, was one of the friendliest. This only means that you were slightly less likely to lose a finger or get scratched by her than some of the other demonic cage-fighting cats.
Wow.
Wow.
As a family, we all liked Black Mother Cat.
She would even sometimes be found to have sneaked into the house through an open window, but was always allowed to stay inside when she wanted. The others, we had to try to sneak past when arriving home to avoid a mauling. Feeding time was crazy. We would argue about whose turn it was to run the gauntlet and risk certain injury by trying to feed the herd. I've got no idea what a collective name for cats is, but I know a collection of wild cats is a destruction, which is yes. probably yes. appropriate. So in my first summer, being left at home while parents and sister went sailing, I was in charge of the house and the feral zoo of cats, or the destruction of cats. That was my job. First couple of weeks went well, then one day I had a knock at the door. It was a neighbour who brought the unfortunate news that Black Mother Cat had met her maker on the road and was in the carrier bag being handed to me. I took a quick look and confirmed that indeed Black Mother Cat was no more and no longer with us in this world. I thanked the neighbour for bringing her back home and decided I needed to do the right thing and bury her in the field under her favourite tree with an appropriate memorial cross and some flowers, as I was now the responsible one, age 16, who needed to deal with this. So off I went into the field with a spade and cat bag, did what needed to be done and said my final goodbyes to Black Mother Cat. A few days later, I was out feeding the destruction of cats, taking my life in my hands as they climbed my legs, bit me and howled abuse, well, that's what it sounded like. As I fed them, I was looking around and I saw the usual group charging down on me. White cat, one-ear cat, limping cat, vicious cat, kittens 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Wowza.
One-eye cat, fluffy cat, tiptoes cat, black mother cat. Wait, what? Black mother cat? What? How is this possible?
Oh, no.
Now, I should say at this point, the evening before, I had sat and watched Stephen King's film Pet Sematary.
Oh.
The one where the cat gets run over, buried in an ancient graveyard, and comes back but is now a vicious version and attacks the family. Trying to fathom out how this was possible, that I was maybe seeing and feeding Black Mother Cat, my mind raced back to the horror film and ideas that maybe our field was an ancient burial ground and Black Mother Cat was back, and this time satanic. Anyway, after some soul-searching and common sense, I concluded that clearly the neighbour, let's put some blame on him,
yes.
and I were mistaken, and the cat in the bag was obviously not Black Mother Cat. Now with the realisation that I had in fact buried someone else's cat, and it just happened that Black Mother Cat had been off for a wander for a few days, I felt rather guilty for not checking that it was really our cat. But when someone gives you a bag with a black cat in it and tells you it's your cat, who was I to question it? To which the answer, Slim Jim, is the owner.
You.
So, to the confessional collective, not only do I ask for forgiveness from the cat I actually buried with the wrong name on the cross, I ask forgiveness to anyone that lost a black cat in Falmouth in the mid-80s and never knew what happened to it. To this day, I have no idea whose cat I buried, but please know, it got a good send-off. So I think the people's verdict is going to be fine. Sister Susie might be tempted to forgive because Slim Jim was trying to do the right thing. What do you say, Sister Suze?
Well, he was trying to do the right thing and he was only 16. So I do feel for Slim Jim here. However, like, I don't really like cats and I don't like horror films. And I just feel like he should have paid a bit more attention. Like, surely he would have known that it was his cat. When he looked, maybe he should have paid a bit more attention, seeing he was, yes. you know, the adult and all of that. So I don't think I am going to forgive Slim Jim.
Okay, all right. Brother Matthew's looking very kind and happy.
Yes. Can I be alone in thinking that maybe this is all Black Mother Cat's fault? Maybe if cats didn't have this laissez-faire attitude to turning up on time when they say they're going to be there and instead just wandering off and demanding to be fed and then wandering off forever, then maybe this wouldn't have happened. So what goes around comes around. Black Mother Cat, because you didn't get buried, it turns out. Probably lived a long and happy life. Probably didn't. Who knows? But it's definitely the cat's fault.
Yes.
So for that reason,
yes.
I'm going to forgive.
It's the cat's fault.
It's the cat's
it's
fault.
The cat's fault. That
it, it's the yeah. cat's fault that it didn't get run over.
They bring it on themselves, don't they, these cats?
Okay.
Oh, shrug.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
an audible shrug.
Yeah.
I think we're going to send a little montage of this to your GP. Just in case.
That was one of the worst.
Yeah, it was
for a
very
while.
Good. It was. I think we've all thought that about the cats, haven't we? That their attitude, it was always coming for them, wasn't it?
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, if you have a confession or something to tell us, or to ask for some tat from Holly.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
To send some filth for Susie.
Thanks.
Well, you know.
Filth?
Well, I say filth. I mean, the kind of... Susie is the filter number one. That's
yeah,
her job.
No, that's true.
She reads all of the confessions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, obviously, if it's too disgusting, don't bother to send it. Because Susie's got better things to do with her
time.
Quite
right.
So
like
true.
She's
yes.
a full-time mum, full-time radio producer, full-time pub landlord.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't want to read your muck.
No.
So
don't send her a...
No, don't.
But send confessions, though, because otherwise, you know...
Or end of the feature.
This doesn't...
Rip-roaring confessions, please, to confessions@greatestitsradio.co.uk. Over to Brother Matt for this week's... secret code phrase.
And as predicted, this week's code phrase is Das Malibu und Coke. Das Malibu und Coke.
If you've listened this far, you can tweet me at Twitter. You can thread me, Mr. Simon Mayo. And you can blue sky me.
Yes.
Where blue everyone sky. Is going.
And it's all very positive on Blue Sky.
Very, very positive.
Yeah, no clouds.
They're the first to react, always.
Mm-hmm.
So they're keen.
The first reference to Malibu and Coke in German will be from a Blue Sky.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
You need to join the club. Anyway, till next time, from the pub, actually here in the studio, Sister Susie says...
Goodbye.
From the tack cupboard, Sister Holly says...
Stay hydrated. Just thought okay. I'd try something new.
Like it. Well done,
Thanks
Holly.
Matt.
Loved
Brother,
it.
Brother yeah. Matt has his teachings.
Yes. Goodbye. My teachings?
Yes, earlier was
oh, right,
saying
they did
want
the teachings, didn't they? Yes. Well, none today.
Never caused
Stay tuned for next week, though. Loads. I'm going to save them up. Loads.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening. Been a little bit shambolic.
It has, well. We've all had too much sugar.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
The endings always end up shambolic.
Yeah.
Start off so well.
We do. Best of intentions.
And then it goes off a cliff.
Fade.
Magic.